And we're back. Welcome to Danny's Daily Sports. I'm Danny, and as always, today we will be discussing the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, and news around the sports world. Let's get it started with something that I did not mention, but last night, the college football national championship occurred. Michigan destroyed Washington, a score of 34-13. Blake Corum, 2 touchdowns. Michael Penix just never really get it going last night, only throwing for 255 yards. He missed many throws that people have seen him hit throughout the season. A back shoulder to, I think, Polk. I forgot his first name. When they still had the game, like, kind of in their hand, where they still could have made a comeback. After that throw, though, everything crumbled. I mean, he was getting hit the whole night. He was obviously shaken up. He was looking very hurt out there. Wasn't playing himself. I think the lights might have been a little too bright for Michael Penix. However, on the opposite side, the lights were not too bright for Michigan. J.J. McCarthy, who played very well that game, used his legs on a pivotal third down to kind of ice the game. Blake Corum, as I said, 2 touchdowns. I think Donovan Edwards also had 2 touchdowns. Altogether, Michigan played a great game. Their defense is, by now, obviously the clear-cut best defense in the country. And, yeah, I don't know how this helps J.J. McCarthy's draft stock. Obviously, I think it'll move him up a little, but nothing too tremendous. As for Michael Penix, I think this moves him up because even though people saw he was hurt, he still stayed in, going against the best defense in college football, still making throws that are average throws, even when he's hurt. So that kind of proves the NFL teams that he has the toughness. The only downside to Penix, though, is that he's already 23. And I assume where Penix gets drafted, he's not the starter. So let's say he gets drafted to a contender with an old quarterback. Hypothetically, he might be starting in 2 years. By that time, it would be 25. And notable quarterbacks that are 25 right now, like Justin Herbert's not even 25. He's been starting for 3 years. Tua's not 25. This is a very old quarterbacks in this class. There's a bunch, but they're all kind of old. Even Bo Nix, 23. He's been in college forever, it feels like. First at Auburn, then to Oregon. But, yeah, this very old class. But just in the quarterback position, I want to talk about what I think the Jets need to do in this draft, and also what I think should happen in the draft. So I think that the Bears with the first pick should probably take Marv. I mean, they were chanting at the last game, "We want Fields." Fields loves Chicago. I think he will stay, and he played better this year. The O-line progressed. His wide receiver options and DJ Moore and everybody else, they play nicely. Cole Kmet emerged as one of his favorite weapons. I think with one more weapon, obviously, Marvin Harrison is insane. So you pair DJ Moore with Marv, then I think that is honestly an elite offense. Maybe not elite, but they make strides. And then let's say Roschon Johnson's very good. He could take another step. Khalil Herbert's still decent. And they still have Dante Foreman. I don't know if they bring him back, but that's another solid running back option. I wouldn't even be surprised maybe to see if they do take Marv, maybe in the third round, second round, take a chance on a running back, maybe Donovan Edwards, like I said, from Michigan. I think that at 2, the Commanders will definitely take a quarterback. I do think it will be Caleb Williams. Everybody's been kind of like off on Caleb Williams lately, but I think he's still the best quarterback in this class. His USC offense would score plenty of points every single game. People get overshadowed because of how bad their defense was, letting up points, so the record didn't come this year. People got to remember, Caleb Williams won the Heisman last year. He still played amazing this year. They just fell short. Moving on to 3, the Patriots. The Jets beat them in Week 18 to give them a better pick. And this pick, I think they do take Drake May, get their quarterback of the future. Drake May has shown a lot of talent and a lot of stuff you should be questionable about. I think Drake May, I don't know if he's going to be amazing, but I definitely think he'll be a solid quarterback in the NFL for a very long time. At 4, the Cardinals kind of need everything. I mean, they need a wide receiver, but I think they have way more holes. I don't think they take Neighbors or Odunsky. Here, they drafted Paris Johnson last year as an offensive lineman. So, linebacker-wise, corner-wise, I don't really know who they're going to take. I could see them definitely taking a defensive player. And, yeah. Next pick belongs to the Chargers. The Chargers, I think, are going to trade Bosa, Max gone. They're going to need an outside linebacker. I could see them maybe taking Tulali Tupatu, however you say his name. He's very good at UCLA. Dog. He's a dog. Wait. Going back, I kind of skipped over the Cardinals, who I think they should draft. I mean, I do think their defense is a giant hole, but they don't have that many. Kyler Murray is still a very good quarterback, so I actually do think they take Joe Alt at Notre Dame. Best offensive tackle in this draft. I think he is a very, very well-rounded prospect. Then the Chargers. I do think they're going to take an offensive lineman to shore up that offensive line. They'll take Fashunu. They will, and it's just a solid pick. Then it's the Giants. This pick is very questionable. The Giants have glaring holes, obviously one of them being at quarterback. But the Giants all around don't really have that much weapons. They need a wide receiver. Saquon might leave. They need a tight end. Waller's injury prone. I do think some mock drafts have them taking a quarterback like Jalen Daniels. But I don't think the smart thing is to take a quarterback there. I mean, if you really want a quarterback, you'll probably wait and grab somebody. So I do have the Giants taking Romeo Odunze out of Washington. I don't know why, but I feel like the Giants kind of have their own scouting. They always take the lower-ranked player over. They took Deontay Banks over Joey Porter Jr. last year. They took Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins, even though that worked out. I do think that their scouting sometimes can be a little off, so I do think they'll take Odunze over Malik Nabers. So, yeah, Giants are going to take Odunze at 6. At 7, the Titans. Last year, they drafted Peter Skowronski as a tackle, moved him to guard. So this year, I do think they pursue a true tackle and take J.C. Latham at Alabama. Very nice offensive tackle. And, yeah. Now, at 8 is something that is a little questionable. What do the Falcons do? You have all these weapons. You just fired your head coach. You have Bijan, Pitts, London. Do you short, and you have a good secondary. I think they're one piece away. I can actually see them maybe taking a quarterback. So in a wild, wild world, I see Michael Penix Jr. going to the Falcons. At 9, the Bears are back on the clock with the Panthers. With their pick, sorry, not the Panthers pick. So the Bears, they are, in my opinion, they already took Marv, so that's a wide receiver short up. Then I think they can use maybe some edge pressure. So I think they take Dallas Turner from Bama. That is going to be two Bama players picked in the top 10, which is obviously nothing new. And, yeah, at 10, I see the Jets on the clock. I haven't said Malik Nabers' name yet. Obviously, the Jets desperately need wide receiver. But there's still offensive line help. Like, they could still draft Talis Fuaga from Oregon State or Armius Mims from Georgia. But I do think that if Malik Nabers is still on the board when the Jets are picking, Malik Nabers will be a New York Jet. The only way I could see this changing is if the Jets trade for Davante Adams before the draft. If they do trade for him before the draft, I think they will take the guy from Oregon State, Fuaga. Yes, I do. Fuaga or Malik Nabers or Odunze, if the Giants pass on him, will be a Jet. At 11, the Vikings are up. They need defense desperately. They also need a quarterback. I think Kirko will walk, but I don't think they take a quarterback here. If they do want a quarterback, they might trade up for Penix, B, might hope he falls in his laps, or C, trade down for J.J. McCarthy. So I do have them taking Jared Verse, edge from Florida State. And then we get to the Broncos, another team that is in desperate need of a quarterback. They are a team that I think will trade up. I didn't say that yet, but I do think they'll trade up. And then I kind of, some teams I think that can use like some key players still, like Brock Bowers or Cooley McKinstry. I could see Brock Bowers going to the Saints. I mean, that is a lovely matchup for him. They don't really have a true tight end. I mean, Juwan Johnson is good, but I don't think he's a number one anymore. He's getting up there. Taysom Hill is not really a tight end. So I think they could take Brock Bowers here. They drafted Paulson. Actually, I don't know if he's on the Saints or the Rams, but Abito. And then I think Kool-Aid McKinstry goes to the Seahawks. I know last year they drafted Witherspoon. They have Reek Woolen. But their secondary as a bunch this year was kind of mid. So I think they want to shore that up, get a top-tier corner in this draft, and take Kool-Aid McKinstry. Those are my key picks for the first round. Obviously, we have the first white cornerback projected to go in the first round in a long, long time. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Let's see where he goes. Fan favorite right there. So that was kind of my mock draft for the first round. First 10 picks with some extras. Moving on to the NBA. It's now been pretty much a week since the Knicks have traded for OG Anunoby. And both sides from this trade have developed nicely. The Knicks, of course, are undefeated since the trade. As well as the Raptors playing very nice basketball. 2 nights ago, RJ Barrett 38-6-6 on 62% true shooting percentage. That was what RJ was needed to. That's what RJ wanted to do on the Knicks. RJ did that on the Raptors, and I'm happy for him. And that game, I saw something from Emmanuel Quickley that I didn't really see that much in New York. Emmanuel Quickley had 10 assists that game. I don't think he's had over 7 in a game in New York. So I'm happy to see him developing as a true point guard. RJ scoring. The Raptors will be a fun team, especially if they trade Siakam for a young guy like Kuminga and Moody. Ooh, that's going to be a young, fun team for a long, long time. Anyway, moving on to the Knicks side of it. They crushed the Sixers. They crushed the Wizards. Beat the Timberwolves. Crushed the Bulls. I mean, this team is just playing out of their mind. Anunoby compliments the Knicks in a perfect role. He's somebody that's not ball dominant. Somebody that can just sit on the wing, shoot, play amazing defense, arguably best in the league. He is the perfect fit. The only thing I'm concerned about as of now is the fact that they did trade two scorers. Quickly was averaging 16 a game, RJ averaging 18. That's 34 points a game right there. Then you get back Anunoby, who averages 15. Obviously, he makes up for that on the defensive side tremendously, but you do come playoff time, I do think they need another scorer, so I think they will add maybe a Malcolm Brogdon, a D'Angelo Russell, somebody has proven themselves in the playoffs. Maybe they can add them for a playoff run, not necessarily to start, because I think DiVincenzo will step it up in the playoffs. He's proven that he has. That he can. Anunoby was on that Raptors final run. He's proven he could play in the playoffs. Obviously, Jalen Brunson is the definition of a playoff god. He is. Jalen Brunson's regular season performance is about a 9 out of 10. You take that to the playoffs, that turns like 11 out of 10. Jalen Brunson is a certified dog in the playoffs. And everybody's been saying, oh, trade Julius Randle. I think Julius Randle is going to have an amazing playoffs this year. He's changed his game. He's never played like this before. People don't understand that. When Julius Randle bullies his way into the paint, he is a dominant scorer. He's taken the least amount of three-pointers this season, in a season, this is his Knicks tenure. He will be a force in the playoffs. Everybody said, yeah, but the last 3 years. I don't care about the last 3 years. He's playing different this year. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to be arguably all-NBA. He's going to be dominant in the playoffs, and the Knicks are going to go deep this year. Maybe Eastern Conference Finals, maybe they get bounced in the second round, but still, another playoff series win would just put them ever so much closer. And you do have to pay OG Anunoby at the end of the offseason. He said he's going to stay with the Knicks, and he'd take a little pay cut. So you say around 4 years, maybe $100 million, $125 million, and in today's NBA, that is a bargain for the best defender in the NBA. Wing. The Knicks play tonight against the Trailblazers, looking to extend their win streak to 5 wins. I don't think it'll be much of a contest. The Knicks will wipe the floor with them. Jalen Brunson will go off. Randle go off. I do think DiVincenzo scores a little today. Maybe a little 20-piece. On the other side of this game, Anthony Simons, I think, will have a very nice game. But unfortunately, they will fall short by a decent margin. Take Knicks by 15 tonight. 125-1. Actually, no. They're not scoring 110 points. Yeah, you know what? Maybe they will. 125-110, Knicks. Final score prediction tonight. I can't wait to see what they do going in the future. Some names, obviously. As I said, Brogdon and D'Lo. And then, obviously, there are the superstars being thrown around. But I don't think the Knicks are going to blow everything up in the middle of the season. I do think that maybe in the offseason, Knicks can pursue an Embiid, a Donovan Mitchell. There's one person, though, that nobody's really talking about that I could see maybe a great fit for the Knicks. Maybe the Knicks go out and trade for Lauri Markkanen and run a huge starting lineup. Brunson, Anunoby, Markkanen, Randle, Hartenstein. That is a title-contending starting lineup. Hartenstein, speaking of Hartenstein, I mean, he's been amazing ever since the new year. He leads the NBA in plus-minus, leads the NBA in stocks per game, which is blocks and steals, 3 blocks, 2 steals. He's averaging 10 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, Hartenstein has been, ever since Robinson went out for the year, everybody's like, oh man, Hartenstein's going to step it up. He has. Unfortunately for the Knicks, Hartenstein is a free agent at the end of the season. I do think they'll pay him. Hopefully I'm right. I mean, he is just insane. I don't think they'll pay more than Mitchell Robinson. Right now, Mitchell Robinson's kind of on a bargain contract, only making $15 per year. So I do think they give Hartenstein somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. I think he will stay. But hopefully that's not me just being a hopeful Knicks fan. I do think that at the trade deadline, though, the Knicks will make a move. And with Knicks trades in recent history, I mean, they've been going well. Remember when the Knicks acquired Josh Hart? The Knicks went on to win 9 in a row. The Knicks acquired OG Anunoby. They went 4 in a row and counting. I do think that the Knicks finally made the right decision. James Dolan, after years of getting all these picks, finally hired somebody that's a player whisperer. He hired Leon Rose, went out and made trades, and the Knicks are back, baby. The Knicks are back. And let's move on to the NFL. The Jets were eliminated. I do think that they will have a very impactful offseason, knowing that Aaron Rodgers, this is possibly his last year, maybe one more if we're lucky. The Jets better pay Bryce Huff. I mean, he is just the epitome of a pass rusher. He is so, so good. I mean, I saw a stat at the beginning of the middle of the year. Most pressures, minimum 250 attempts last 2 years. Higher than Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons, TJ Watt. I mean, he is an elite pass rusher. I do think that Jermaine Johnson played amazing this year. Alternate Pro Bowler. But a combination of Jermaine, Bryce Huff, JFM, Quinnen. They still have Quinnen Jefferson, Solomon Thomas is still on the team. Solomon Thomas. And then I also think a guy that's been on the Jets since 2016 had a kind of a breakout year this year. What do they do with Ashton Davis? I always loved Ashton Davis as a kick returner, kind of a specialist. Everybody I've talked to never really liked Ashton Davis, but he proved them wrong this year. Had an amazing year. And he's no longer a return specialist. A, because they have Xavier Gibson. And B, because they don't need him to be a return. He's finally proven that he is a safety. Anyway, hopefully the Jets will become a better team next offseason. And yeah, moving on. Last thing, MLB, quick. Yankees are signing little minor league signings. Some guy from the Marlins, some guy from the A's yesterday, Kevin Smith. Not that good, but Brian Cashman's known for these signings. Turns up these little dudes who aren't that good. Turns them into studs for the Yankees. And eventually we'll be batting cleanup in May because the Yankees are going to get hurt and they're kind of crippled all the time. Anyway, I still can't believe Juan Soto's a Yankee. I always forget about it. And Juan Soto is going to hit 45 home runs this year. Him and Judge, 45 each. That's 90 home runs combined. Whew. And then overall, the Mets kind of making some nice signings. Sean Manaea has decent upside. Reliever starter. And I don't think they're going to be contending much this year, but next year and the year after that, I think they'll be a very good ball squad. The Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez, and of course they deferred half of his contract to 2030-something. Teoscar would have hit 40 home runs at several ballparks last year, but I don't know. I can't believe the Dodgers are getting away with this. At this point, I think the Dodgers are the clear World Series favorites, and yeah, I don't like what they're doing. Anyway, that was my podcast. Thank you for listening. See ya.